Thank you for listening to today's message from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. For more information about our church and our ministry, please visit our church website at livingwaterschurchelkriver.org. We pray that you were both blessed and encouraged by today's message.
Speaking of Emmanuel, God with us, and I don't know how many of you have seen the words that I think, is this the first Sunday of glory that is up here? How many of you appreciate what the decorating committee has done up here? Amen. Amen. And that is the reality of God with us, Emmanuel. And we saw it in Jesus Christ. And we have a tendency sometimes to think of the glory of God as it was in the old covenant with the coming down of the mist or the coming down of the fire or the coming down of the water or the coming down of the bread. And we tend to long for those days. And yet the writer, Paul, said that the glory of the old covenant was absolutely nothing in the radiance of the new covenant. And the new covenant was God with us dwelling in the man Christ Jesus. And so as we press in, and we're going to be talking about this more, but I just want to prophesy out of a little bit, as we press into this, we've got to understand that the glory of God is longing to come, but he doesn't really care whether he comes in a cloud, a fire, a mist, or bread, or whatever. He wants to come in the lives of people and put on display. See, it is Christ in you that is the hope of glory. It's the Christ in me that is the hope of glory. And there's got to be a new covenant perception concerning the glory of God, or we're always looking for something somewhere and we miss the gift that is within you and among you. You are the glory of God. Jesus was the exact radiance and representation of his Father, and so are you. And as a few people shared here this morning prophetically, you are carrying something, I am carrying something, and it is the glory of God. And we have this treasure, however, in earthen vessels, and sometimes we let the earthen vessel trip us up, even our own vessel. And we do not recognize that God is not nearly as bothered with our vessel as we are. And he has an ability to minister out of cracked pots. And so we must understand that there is a glory that God is releasing, and he's doing it. That's why there is a revival that is rumbling under the surface, because it's resident within people. And it's not resident with just a few. It is resident within many. I was watching the news early yesterday morning, and the Lord spoke to me. And what I was watching was that, I'll get to where we're going. I was watching the thousands of people revolting in Russia. And the Lord spoke to me, and he said, first the natural, and then the spiritual. I said, Lord, what are you talking about? And I began to see, and he began to help me to understand, all around the world, the people, the masses, are in the streets demanding change. And in the same way, first the natural, then the spiritual, in the same way, there is a shift going on in the church. Now, thank God that in the church, leaders are aware of the change. See, true leadership sees change before it ever gets here. That's a leader that sees the future before it gets here and adjusts so that when the future is here, it's now the present and you're in step. Now, thank God in the church, we are seeing what the masses are calling for, the change masses are calling for, and leaders everywhere are making an effort to do what we've been talking about, and they're taking the baton of the work of the ministry and they're passing it to the masses, to the people, and saying, here, you run this. Now, the reality is you can't run my race, but you can run yours. And sometimes the void we feel and sometimes the longing we feel is we were born to run. We were praying about it here Thursday. I knew I'd get to dogs, just so you know I like them. And thank God he saved me with a vision that he gave somebody about a team of huskies. How many of you have ever seen a team of huskies? They love to run. They love to pull. Marcy and I, when we were first married, lived in Marquette, Michigan, and we used to go up in that region. Something that was really big was horse pulling contests. And we were amazed at how passionate those horses were to pull. It was like they could not wait to get the load on their shoulders so they could pull into it. They were like temperamental, and you've seen it with husky dogs. It's like, hook me up, hook me up, hook me up, let me go. That's my dog message. But in the same way, you and I were born to run the race that has been set before us and to carry a baton. I asked Dave to get this baton for me out of his office today. And when he brought it to me, he said, I'm struck this morning with how light this thing is. Maybe it'll preach. And I saw it right away and I said, yes, it will. I love hanging around Dave. We just talk and revelation just starts coming. But that is the reality of the work of the ministry that you and I are called to, the race that you and I are to run. See, we're not asked to, like some Ironman contest where you're asked to carry a truck tire. We're just asked to carry a little baton. It's made as light as possible because it's not about the baton, it's about the race. And so my call is to carry this from here to there, in obedience to my Father. And so it is with you and the baton that you have to carry. It's not that heavy. What holds us back from carrying the baton that we've got to carry is a fear of doing the supernatural. A fear of doing these things, even some of the exhortation that was brought forth this morning. There rises within us a fear like, that's impossible. Duh. The fact that you're saved is impossible. The fact that that woman is saved is like impossible. I knew her. And she knew me. And the fact that we're here is as impossible as the fact that you're here. And I know some of you grew up on a shelf of righteousness and you think you deserve to be here, but you will discover through the trials of life you don't. But the grace of God brings us into the family of God, calls us out of darkness into His marvelous light. And it's like, oh, man. And we are an impossibility. We are a miracle standing right in front of you. And you are a miracle standing right in front of me. And there are other miracles to be performed out there. And guess what? With the comfort with which we've been comforted, we comfort others. The message that saved us, we now become a carrier of. The healing that we received, we now become a dispenser of. From time to time, people say, what's the vision of Living Waters Church? The vision of Living Waters Church is just what I'm preaching, that you would recognize that you are a minister and that you carry the presence and the life of God and you can carry it with you everywhere you go. The vision of Living Waters Church is not about Living Waters Church, it's about you. And that's why some people have trouble getting a hold of it, because it's so ethereal and it puts responsibility back on you. If anyone thirsts, let him come and drink. That's wonderful. Yeehaw, let's party. But out of that, something happens. And he who believes in me, out of his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. So then I have a responsibility. I can parday all I want. But sooner or later, at the end of the day, I've got to give away my party. I've got to give away the flow of the drinking that I partook of then becomes out of me. And the comfort I drank in, I give out. The love I drink in, I give out. I'd like you to turn in your bulletin to an insert that's in there. I'm up here this morning primarily because I'm wanting to help along with Pastor Dave and the elders, wanting to help cast a vision for higher call. It's a school of ministry. It's not a school of theology. It's not a Bible school in the sense of, obviously we'll use the Bible, but it is a school to impart to you how to do the supernatural ministry of being light and being salt. We've heard about it this morning. I appreciated what Dave said. If you're light, darkness does not mess with you. By the way, if you're salt, nothing messes with you either. Have you ever put salt on your eggs and said, wow, this salt tastes like eggs? Have you ever put salt on your fish or your meat and said, wow, this meat turned this salt meaty? No. The salt is the change agent. The light is the change agent. And this is announcing an informational meeting on January 8th. We're going to have an informational meeting from 6 to 7:30. And at that meeting, we have primarily two goals. And they're both what? We're not going to talk about what this morning. We're going to talk about why. RDM. What will it look like? We'll talk about that at the informational meeting. And I know you'd like to know the what before you know the why, but I'm going to tell you the why before you know the what, because if you know the what, you'll talk yourself out of it. But if you can catch a revelation, Father, I ask you for the ability to impart vision and to impart something that is spiritual in nature. And it can't be written on pages. It can't be charted. It can't be graphed. It has to be caught in the Spirit. Holy Spirit, we invite you into this place right now to be the vision caster, to ignite something in our hearts of the potential that is within us as believers to be carriers of you. Release it, release it, release it, Holy Spirit, in this place. Release it. Release it. We need your help. It's a spiritual vision and it's a spiritual reality. And it cannot be taught. It's got to be caught. So on the 8th, we'll talk about, Dave and I will be teaming up and we'll talk about the what. What is it? What is higher call? What will it look like? What will we be teaching? Can tell you this, there'll be other people from outside of the body that we're going to be having coming in and impart. Partially because they carry something we don't. Partially because you've become so accustomed to our voices, you need to hear a new voice. And we understand that, and we have no trouble with that. And we will bring outside men and women of God who can impart, as well as some of us that are in the house, to just release the ability to give Jesus away. That is the what. But the second part of that informational meeting on that evening is we want information from you. What would serve you? What would help you the most to get past the hurdles, whatever they are in your life, that hinder you from being a carrier of the glory of God? What would serve you? What would help you? Because we're not interested in developing a curriculum that is hurdles that everybody's got to jump over. We are interested in developing a curriculum that becomes a ladder that helps you reach your higher call. And I don't care who you are in this room today, you have a higher call than what you're walking in, and so do I. Every once in a while, either directly, some people get really bold, and others are more timid about how they ask it, but they ask me the question, why did you release and turn over a church? And my answer to you this morning, and putting in the context, is because I had a higher call. And I'm walking in it, and I'm living it. But I've got a long way to go. I want you to turn to the scripture that is in your bulletin. It's listed there, Philippians chapter 3. So this morning we're looking at the why, not what. Why? Why higher call? Why a ministry that is dedicated not to discipleship, but to equipping? To me, there's a big difference between discipling and equipping. One of the biggest tragedies I've seen in life is people who, in their early walk with God, were equipped, but were never discipled, and they become a train wreck. Because they were equipped to run in their calling, but they were never discipled to have their character in step with their calling. And so there is a dysfunction on the inside of them because the fullness of the life of Christ was never discipled into them so that they were carriers of his nature before they were carriers of his gifts and of his mission and of his message. And there will be some discipleship that will take place in this, but it's going to be more about how do we. It's about equipping the saints for the work of the ministry. One of the things that we will put a heavy emphasis on is validating you. You just do not know who you are. And if the truth be known, neither do I know who I am. And I don't know about you, but that's one of the biggest things I'm constantly confronting is the limitations that I put on myself. And sometimes I think it's out of the thing the Lord spoke it to me while we were worshiping. It sometimes comes out of a fear of doing the supernatural, a fear of getting out there where God has to do it. Imagine that. Now there'd be a thought. Okay. I know I'm a little feisty this morning, but I can't help it. I'm just going with the fire that's on the inside because I believe so strongly in you. And I believe so strongly in the coming revival that is going to be the whomsoevers. And I don't mean that in a negative term. I mean that in a positive. The sons and daughters of God who maybe have been on the bench, nameless, faceless, but they carry the presence and the life of God on the inside of them. And they've been trained and validated and know how to give it away in the most simplest of ways. Like somebody testified to here this morning, and it changes the whole atmosphere in a kid's life or in a room or in a whatever. I believe in it. It is the future. We can call it anything we want. Some people are calling it marketplace ministry, and well, it should be because it takes place in the marketplace in those settings. But it is a transference of the anointing and of the authority to do the work of the ministry from a few to the many. And it is the only way God's going to bring revival, I believe. And if we understand it in that terms, he already is bringing it. Here a little, there a little. Line upon line. Brian Malley was teaching yesterday at our men's group, and he made a comment, which is so true. It seems like in the USA in this day, there is no real big crusades. You know, the day of the big crusades, and I'm not saying there's not any, and neither was he, nor are we saying that you can't do them or shouldn't do them. But the reality is that is an evidence of what God is doing. He is taking the message of the gospel and the responsibility and privilege of ministry, and he's taking it out of the hands of the evangelists, the prophets, the apostles who gather the thousands, and rather he is putting it into thousands who go to the thousands and the millions and rub shoulders with them every day, and they're giving it away. And it has a greater impact than does the crusade. Do you know that by Billy Graham's own statistics, that only about 1% of those who come forward to the altar are walking with God a year later? And I want to suggest to you there is a better way. And it is you and I running the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Okay, verse 12, chapter 3, Philippians. The Apostle Paul writing, "Now that I have not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal of the prize of the upward of call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, having this mind, and if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that you have already attained, let us walk by the same rule and let us be of the same mind. Before we take a look at what the Apostle Paul wrote, we must consider who he was and when he wrote it. This is written around 61 AD. The Apostle Paul is in prison. In about 4 years, he will be dead. He's at the end of his ministry in very real ways. He's probably 61, 62, 63 years old. He's built churches. He's turned cities upside down. He's been shipwrecked. He's seen visions in the body, out of the body. He doesn't know. And yet this man writes and he said, I haven't apprehended it yet. And if you're sitting here this morning and you think like you've walked with God for a while and you've accomplished some things, thank God. But he said, forgetting those things which are behind, we press toward the mark. See, there's always the pressing toward the race, the finish line. If you think you're serving and you say, Pastor Bob, I can't serve anymore. I'm not saying you should. I'm just saying you should serve better. We just want to increase your capacity to serve. There are people in this room who are wiped out, who are serving their heart out, but you're wore out, you're burned out, you feel empty, you feel like you just... I just want to say to you, don't quit the race, just run it smarter. And we want to help you with that. There are others of you who have a vision on the inside of you and you just know that you know that you know that God spoke something to you, but you don't know how to take that vision and see it become a part of the vision of this house and become a part of something that can be translated into impacting people's lives. I just want to encourage you. We want to help you with that. One of the things that we want to do somewhere along the leadership lines of things is help you formulate a mission statement for your life. Why do you exist? Why are you sucking up oxygen? See, if it was about getting you and I to heaven, God could have just got us saved and took us home a long time ago. But it's not about that. It's about taking others with us, and it's about impacting those around us. It's about getting a hold of the reason God got a hold of me. Do you know why God got a hold of me? He got a hold of me to preach. Plain and simple. And I knew it from the first day I was born again. Didn't understand it. Didn't know how long it was going to take. Didn't have a clue what it was going to cost. And it's still costing. But I'll tell you what, it's supernatural. By that I mean, talk to my old speech teacher. Gave me a D because I refused to give a speech in front of the class. I was just scared out of my shorts. Anyway. But there was this longing in him. There was this desire to get a hold of the reason that Christ had got a hold of him. And there's a part of you that wants to say, Paul, gosh, you turned cities upside down. You've done this. You've seen that. And he says, oh, but I forget the things which are behind that I might press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God that is in Christ Jesus. And there's got to be within you and I a dissatisfaction. Now, if you're here this morning and you just feel like, Pastor Bob is just putting a yoke on me that I just cannot carry. I just break that off in the name of Jesus. What we want to do is help you find the yoke. Come on to me, all of those of you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke up on you. It is easy, really. gentle? Really? See, sometimes we get in the wrong yoke. And one of the things that we want to help do with Higher Call is define callings and giftings. We want to establish teams. We want to establish an apostolic team. We want to establish a prophetic team. We want to establish an evangelistic team. We want to establish a pastoral team. We want to establish a teaching team. And find those who run in those places like huskies hooked to a sled. And you might not pull every load, but you can pull one load. And it's not about you alone. You are a part of a team. We are building team. Higher Call is for the purpose of building team. Dave and I are a team. Dave and I and the elders are a team. And it gets larger than that, but it is a team of people. Why am I preaching this morning instead of Dave? Because when it came to this particular load, he felt it'd be good if I pulled it. But there's aspects of it that he will be releasing in days to come in a way that I can't. We're a team. And if enough people say it enough different ways, we'll all get it. It'll all become something that we're running the same race and running in the same direction. In the same way that we must be careful that when it comes to the glory of God, we recognize the new covenant glory rather than the old, even though the old is more spectacular in a sense. However, the children ate the bread and still complained. They saw the fire by night and they saw the cloud by day, and they still were ornery people. Didn't really change them much. Had a nice firework display for a while. They ate the bread and they drank the water, but they wanted chicken. But the glory of the new covenant. Jesus said to the woman at the well, if you drink, you don't know the gift that stands among you. He said to her, if you drink of this water that he shall give you, you will not thirst again. You drink of this bread of I am the bread of life. You eat of this bread of life and you will not hunger again. I am he who has come down from heaven. Emmanuel, resident God, resident within man and women. Within people. In the same way that we don't gravitate toward an old covenant way of thinking, we must also in the way that we serve God and love God, in the old covenant, you showed your love of God by performance toward God. Do you know that I won't get to that yet. See, Jesus said, if you love me, said to Peter, if you love me, what? Feed my sheep. He said to the others, to everyone, if you love me, keep my commandments. What commandments? Well, he only had two. Love the Lord thy God with all and your neighbor as yourself. Do you realize that in the law, there was a lot in there, about not loving your neighbor, but there wasn't much in there about loving your neighbor? There was a lot in there about don't love your neighbor's wife. Don't love your neighbor's oxen. But in the new covenant, something reversed, and now my ability to display my love for God, I display it by my love for people. If you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, feed my sheep. So that John writes and says, don't say you love God if you're out of sorts with your brother. You're a liar. Jesus said that if you did it to the least of me's, if you visited those in prison, if you fed the poor, if you clothed the naked, if you did it to me. And sometimes we get an old covenant way of thinking that our love for God is expressed by our, I don't want to pick on anything, so I'll pick on everything. Bible reading, prayer, worship, all of those things. All of them are important. All of them are good. But if all those things do not propel me to be a lover of people and come to the place to where I give away what I'm carrying to somebody else, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, you might be sitting here this morning and you might say, yeah, but you don't know me. I'm really not very good at giving it away. You know what? None of us are. And really, we're not. I mean, we all have to push past some type of limitation or boundary. That's when we put a trust in the supernatural. See, Paul never boasted in his strengths. I think there's some 35, 36 times the Apostle Paul boasted, and he said, I will boast in every time my weakness. And we tend to want to do the gospel in ways in which we're strong, rather than in obedience to God in whatever way He chooses. Last week, for those of you who were here, we had a silent fire tunnel. And we, just for the sake of those of you who weren't here, just, I don't even know, well, I do know God. I just had the impression, have a fire tunnel, but don't let him speak. And I did not realize what it would release. I'll be honest. When you follow God, sometimes you're more surprised than anyone else what he does. I did not know what it would release, but one of the things it released is, a couple of things it released is, and I said to Marcy, or she said to me actually, because I had made a comment, I said you can't pray or prophesy. Some people found that way harder than they thought. It was like the back pressure was going to kill them. But see, that taught us something, and that is that there is a prophetic flow that is on the inside of us. And if we close the dam, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And if Pastor Bob, that big meanie, says, you got to close the... And it builds up, and you realize, this is not me. There is a flow on the inside of me. And if I stop it, it just keeps bubbling and simmering like a stew. Finally, I said to a few ladies here who were about to explode, I said, I know you got something for her, but go talk to her after. Because it's not that it wasn't important, but it's that we wanted to see the presence of God being given away simply by the laying out of hands without a prayer or without a prophecy. Because I know this about people, because I know this about myself. Sometimes we really want to hear somebody say it. And we really don't have a confidence that it's about Father and me. It's about Father, me, and my brother or my sister. But we've got to come to the place to where we know it's about Dad and me. And I can receive from him without the words of another person. Now, thank God for the prayers of another person. Thank God for the prophecy of another person. But beyond that, I have an ability to receive a download from my Father, and I have an ability to give away a download from my Father just simply by touch, just by laying on of hands. And so somewhere along the way, I said, it just keeps building up until you can't help it. And on the way home, Marcy said that was key. Can't help it. See, he doesn't need our help. Somebody said it this morning, the gospel is an incorruptible seed. It doesn't need our help. Even in my preaching here this morning, I want you to know there's something in me that I have not a clue whether I'm getting it across to you or not. And I have to rest in the presence of God and in the life of God and in the Spirit of God to make it resonate on the inside of you, because I do not have the words. And I know that. And I do not have the cute whatever it takes, but it doesn't take that. It takes a spiritual impartation. Somebody prophesied to me long ago and said, you are going to speak and speak things into people where you used to lay hands on, and it's just going to be spoken in by the preaching of the word. And I'm standing on that, because days are short and there is a message that's got to get out. And the message that's got to get out is you are a carrier of something of some significance. And I'm speaking to you as much as I am to me. I want you to know that. I'm wrestling with this in my own walk, because I know there's more. You know, we've been pressing as a church into the things of God and into the supernatural, and Pastor Dave is frustrated. Sue is frustrated. Pastor Bob is frustrated. Marcy's frustrated. The elders are frustrated, not in a negative sense, but it's because we know that we know that we know we're so close to something, and yet we haven't yet seen it yet. Not in its fullness. But we will not quit pressing in. We will press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God, so that we might lay hold of the reason that God laid hold of us. That there would be a people, and not just this church, but it would be a community of people who know who they are and know what they carry, and give it away in their own unique way without trying to model it after somebody else. Higher call will not be about formula in the sense of you do these six steps and you'll see the sick healed, or you'll prophesy, or blah, blah, blah. It will be about discovering. We're going to be on an adventure together, discovering how you're wired, discovering how you work. Part of the higher call is going to be nights, times of worship about every 3 or 4 weeks, times of prophetic worship where we just come together and we exercise what we've been learning in the flow of worship and in the flow of giving adoration to God. We begin to see, what's he speaking? What's he doing? What's he saying? Prophetic words will flow. We may have some that know that they know they have a call on their life to preach, to just bring a word that night. We don't know what we're doing. We're just doing it. Dave and I are getting together once a week, and we're just talking, and we're just brainstorming, and we're just in the presence and in the life of the Holy Spirit. And it's prayerful conversation. God, what about this? What about this? And we're sorting out what he would have. And as we go, I know we're going to make course adjustments, because it isn't about a formula. It's about a Holy Spirit leading us and guiding us. We don't need more to do, by the way. And neither do you. And you don't need another meeting. Not for meeting's sake. But what if there was a meeting that could help all your other meetings make more sense? What if there was a meeting that could cause some of your other meetings to just fall aside because they're no longer necessary? What if there was a meeting that could train you to be a better meetinger? And to be a better carrier of and a better dispatcher of the responsibility? What if there was a meeting that could teach you how to carry the baton that you've been given and that only you can carry? What if there was a meeting that could teach you how to minister smarter instead of harder? What if there was a meeting that could teach you how, in the course of carrying the baton, would give you permission to slow down? Give you permission to set a pace instead of letting the pace set you. You know what I noticed last week as we went through the prayer tunnel? That there were pockets in the prayer tunnel. Remember, now no one's speaking, so it's relatively quiet except for those who were laughing, which was fine. That's not talking. I knew Dan would find a way around it. Is he here? See, it's good for us to know, especially when it comes to ministering out there, it's good for us to know that the same Holy Spirit that can cause us to move with venacity, or if that's such a word, or veracity. What was that? Venacity and veracity. The same Holy Spirit can cause us to move with restraint. But it doesn't diminish the power of God. See, sometimes we think if we preach loud, pray loud, whatever, that somehow helps God. Do you know that demons nor God are deaf? Now, sometimes the loudness just comes out of passion and out of a feistiness, and I think that's good, but what's my point? What was I saying? Say that again. Oh, yes, thank you. I don't know if you noticed, but Marcy and I both commented on it. We noticed that as we went through the line, there was a place in the line that was just like joy. And, you know, the attributes of God were being imparted in the line. And there was a place where there was just the peace. There was another place where there was just the love of God. And you could almost feel the different nuances, if I could say it that way, of the Spirit being released. And guess what? They were being released by you, who were here. Now, well, if God is moving, and it's really God, if someone's laughing, everybody should be. Oh, really? Well, if it's God, it's got to be all the same. Really? Go look in a mirror. And then look at me. I don't look nothing like you. And you don't look nothing like me. Except maybe my son, John. See, we get silly. We are so unique, and I saw that uniqueness in the line. Some of you were able to impart peace. Now, next, if we did it again some other time, you might be the one imparting joy. Yeah. And Dan might actually be quiet. But how many of you know it's true? There are different expressions of the Holy Spirit that we carry. Now, some of you are very likely in your flow to be quieter than others. And one of the problems that creates is you think there's something wrong with you, and we want to convince you through every avenue available to us that there isn't. Now, you may need to get a little freer in your quietness, just like those of us who are louder need to get freer in our loudness. God help us. See, one of the things, in fact, I will give you just a nugget of the what, so you know what to look forward to. Got that? What to look forward to? One nugget of the what is we know we're going to start out the classes with some teaching on Dave, myself, and others on what is the culture of the kingdom? What is the culture of the kingdom? Because, see, we are ministers not, and this is what sometimes has tripped us up. We think that ministry is about the church, and it's not. It's about the kingdom. And the kingdom is out there. And so we feel like, and even when we talk about being equipped for ministry, it's like, oh yeah, I get to get in the pulpit. You may. But that's not what it's about. It's about being a carrier in of the kingdom and expanding the kingdom. It's not about just the church. Now, there's good reason to serve in a church because some of the relationship, both as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another, some of the relationship dynamics sharpen us for ministry out there as well. But we have an ability to give him away. Jesus sent out the 72, and he sent them out as lambs among wolves. That's not ministry in the church. That's ministry out there. And therefore, you need to be as harmless as a dove and as wise as a serpent, he said to them. And so we have our own unique way in which we give him away. But what is the culture of the kingdom? And one of the culture and one of the core values that we're going to emphasize heavily and already have been here at Living Waters is the culture of honor. See, I honor who you are enough not to try to change you, to make you like me. How many of you would agree one of me is enough? Yeah. We don't need enough. No. But one of you's enough too. About all I can handle. No comment. But see, and even in the, and we want to help to see, we want to help define. We believe that it says in Ephesians that he, Jesus Christ, there are gifts of Christ and there are gifts of the Spirit. Christ gave gifts. He gave gifts, and grace was given to everyone. Say everyone.
Everyone.
That's you. Grace was given to everyone. And we believe that there is a grace that falls in five areas which capture the headship of Jesus Christ. Not gifts of the Spirit, gifts of Christ. He ascended on high and gave gifts. And grace was given to every believer. And those graces fall into one of five categories, or a mix of, but apostolic, prophetic, evangelistic, pastoral, and teaching. And we want to help you find what is your strength or strengths of those five. See, some of you over the years have felt like a second-class citizen in the body of Christ because you are not evangelistic, and that to, and it just does not come easy for you like it does for others. And some of you who are have been proud and arrogant, like there is, you are just somebody, and if the rest of the body of Christ would get it, the world would be saved by now. And you're both wrong. If you have an ability to reach the lost and it's easy for you to talk to people out of the clear blue about Jesus on the street with people walking by, you have an evangelistic grace that is from God, and you must recognize that it's from God. But don't you put your grace on somebody else. Don't you put your monkey on somebody else's back, because they may have a prophetic grace. They may have a pastoral grace. And the reality is very often the evangelistic person will lead someone to the Lord, but they don't want much to do with them after that. Thank God for the pastoral grace. Or the evangelist, you know, and I'm not picking on evangelists, but I am picking on a mentality in all the graces that causes us to think, why doesn't everyone see the work of the ministry like me? Because they're not wired to, and God doesn't want them to, because the full expression of the person of Christ comes through five graces. You can look in the gospel and you show me any place in the gospel and I will tell you what grace Jesus was functioning in. And it's one of the five. He was an evangelist with a woman at the well. He was an apostle in another place. He was a prophet in another place. He was a pastor in another. The woman throwing at his feet, caught in adultery, the pastoral heart of Jesus rose up and he came to her rescue. And he wouldn't let anyone mess with her. And you carry a grace. And I know there's a mixture of them. We don't want to put anyone in a box or the giftings or the graces in a box. But there's a reality that we gravitate toward some things and we don't gravitate toward the other. And if we can develop a culture of honor where I say, Dave, I honor the socks off you because you are so pastoral. And I am so thankful for that because I am not. And I can then step into what I am without feeling guilty because I'm not that. And to those of you who are evangelistic, I can say, oh, I honor you. I got to be honest with you. I don't like strangers talking to me and I don't like talking to strangers. I don't like men, people walking, knocking at my door and interrupting my life. And I don't like to knock on someone else's door and interrupt theirs. And you might say, well, you just don't love the lost. You're right. I don't. Not like you do. But you got to understand, you've got a grace from God to love the lost. You aren't some buddy. You understand? I hope you hear my heart. I admire and I so, in fact, can I be very honest? What we need at Living Waters Church is evangelists. And we want to, and we're gonna release that grace because we need it. And one of the reasons we don't have it is because I don't have that gift, and I pastored here for 15 years. Now, on the other hand, there's a very strong prophetic stream in this church because I pastored here for 15 years. By the way, I just want to give you a testimony. Last time that Dave preached and had a fire tunnel, people were allowed to speak. And it was a hope tunnel. The emphasis was on hope. And I just want to give you a testimony of a lady that occasionally attends here. And I know a little bit of her history. She's been a bit wounded, a bit disillusioned with prophecy, a bit hurt by leaders. And she went through the fire tunnel, and I knew it was happening. I saw it. She was being transformed as you spoke words into her life. She said, one lady spoke and such, and there's no way she could have known what that meant to me. But number one, she was transformed by the time she got out of the other end of the line. And number two, she had a new respect for authentic prophecy. And I want to commend you as a body. See, it was team. Well, yeah, but who? Jesus. By the way, it wasn't, I know who the who was, and it wasn't, oh, I've got to say this carefully. It wasn't who you think it might be. It was a little lady. You know why I'm struggling? Because we tend to put people in categories, don't we? Well, it was this mighty woman of God. Well, it was a mighty woman of God at that particular instant, but she's not commonly viewed that way. But in the future, I believe she will be because she brought an authentic word to someone who it like read her mail, and it was just one word. She said, "I don't know why, but I just keep getting this word." I'm sorry, it was a phrase, about a four-word phrase, and the sister I'm talking about knew. It was like, "Oh my gosh, how did she know that?" Now, one of the reasons that happened is the scripture says that if you honor a prophet in the name of a prophet, you receive the prophet's reward. So over 10 years now, we have honored the ministry of Alan Ross as a prophet, and we have not hesitated to call him a prophet. And we now, and so the reward of that is prophetic freedom released to the whole body. You understand? We honored the prophet. So what is his reward? Well, what does the prophet do? He equips the saints. What does he equip them in? Evangelism. No. Prophecy. Prophetic. The evangelist equips. See, that's one thing we could do better at. So often evangelists tend to hold crusades instead of equipping people to hold many crusades all throughout the city. Apostles equip apostles. Prophets equip prophets. Pastors equip pastors. And again, please don't draw distinct lines. I don't see it that way. But I do see a grace that we gravitate toward. And so we develop a culture of honor where we honor that which is different than us. And we, more than just honor it, we don't just tolerate, we honor it. I mean, I'm not talking about tolerating. I'm talking about honoring and saying, "Thank God you're here." Those of you who are wired different than me, thank God you're here. Because I am so incomplete without you. And I mean that. One of the reasons that it was so easy for me, and this is the baton, one of the reasons it was so easy for me to pass this baton to Dave was I was aware of how incomplete I was in pastorally leading this body. And I knew there had to be a leadership change. Now, I didn't just think of it. I mean, God was leading and showing us. And if you're sitting here thinking, "Wow, that was marvelous," can I be really honest? It was easy. And it still is. Because it was done out of obedience rather than sacrifice, and it was done for the sake of the team. And I was tired of carrying that. I got a new one that it fits me way better. Even lighter than that. It's new ultralight graphite, whatever. But it is, it's lighter for me. Seeing anything? So we just want to encourage you to come out on January 8th and just check it out. The meetings on an ongoing basis will be Sundays nights from 6 to 7:30. We're going to really purpose to hold to that 7:30 because we want to honor your time. We won't have worship every night that we meet, but there will be nights when we will, and then the focus will be let's just let her loose. How many of you have ever seen musicians just jam? Don't you love that? Whether it's blues, jazz, whatever. When my son John was learning, I think he learned more. He took drum lessons. But I think he learned more just by jamming with friends. Just discovering things. Just, "Whoa, this works." And that's what those prophetic worship services are going to be. It's going to be just getting together and just jamming in music, yeah, but more than that, in word, and just in the flow of ministry, laying on of hands, maybe. We don't know what we're going to do till the conductor tells us. You got something? Good. Let's team up.
Yeah.
If you know how to end this thing.
No, I don't know. I'm going to turn it back to you. But as Bob has been ministering the word, I've just been very aware that there's a whole segment of people that we give a lot of honor to non-verbally, and we appreciate, but moms, stay-at-home moms, moms that have just, you know, been out of the house and then come and minister to your children. Sometimes when we talk about this whole thing of walking in your gift, and we're talking about expressing the gift of God that's in you, and, you know, we can never forget that the place that God has you in is a supernatural place too.
Yeah.
I want to encourage you that being a mom and being a dad isn't about doing things the way you've always done it or the way your parents did it. It's about tapping into a supernatural ability to pastor and to teach and to reach into your kids' hearts.
Good.
And I just really want to validate that as we talk about being marketplace ministry and all that, you know, that there's this thing called the home that is our first and foremost place that we walk in the supernatural. I have got to love my kids supernatural. I can't love them with my natural love. As moms and dads, as grandparents, as parents of kids that have gone, in your family, can I just encourage you that this thing that we're talking about doing things we can't do in the natural. One of the taglines I had in my heart for Higher Call is equipping you to do the things you can't do. See, we've done the things we can do long enough. What Higher Call is stepping up into the place of doing things, understanding that you have a supernatural God in you, and that everything that you can do, that you do, can be supernatural. I want to demystify some of that stuff. I want to take some of the ethereal out of it and say that there's a very practical application to being supernatural. And where that manifests most accurately and powerfully is in our homes. So I just want to commend moms and dads. This is about you too.
Amen.
You can have it.
All right. Case in point. How many of you see the sensitivity of a pastor step up there? How many of you can see it? I mean, very, very good example. Now, I can be sensitive. I can too. Don't get me wound up. No, I can be sensitive, but the pastoral gift picked up on something I believe in the room, which is now that he said it, it's like, duh, I see it now. And that's what I'm talking about, team. We need one another. I would like, yes. You hear that? Team. Yeah. Do you hear that? The acronym for team, together everyone achieves more. And do you know that that's true with husky dogs or horses? Do you know that two horses can pull, you'd think they'd pull twice as much as one. They pull about three times as one. That's a true principle, and it's true with dogs too. And it's true, yeah. It's true. The load is lightened for all, and yet more is pulled. Figure that out, team. I'd like to have you stand right where you are, and if this doesn't apply to you, just spit it out. It's just a bone to you. But I would like you to hold out your hands, and I would like to just release something of breaking off the fear of being called upon to do the supernatural. And believe me, my hands are out just like yours. because we're all growing in this. But Holy Spirit, we invite you into this meeting. We invite you to release an impartation in this room. We invite you. We declare that we need you. We declare that it's you that gives boldness, and that beyond the boldness, it is you that gives a love. And the love of God compels us to do things, even supernaturally, for the sake of others. We break off fear in the name of Jesus. We just command that fear of being called upon to do the supernatural to fall off in Jesus' name. We break that power. We break that authority. And we release a confidence in our God. We release a confidence in the ability to be obedient, to do what He tells us to do, and to lead the results to Him. We break off the fear of failure in the name of Jesus. And we declare that if we are obedient, we did not fail. If we are obedient, we did not fail. If we are obedient, we did not fail. We break off the fear of failure in Jesus' name. There is no failure in doing the supernatural if you do it. There is no failure in running with the baton if you run. The only way you fail is when you don't run the race. We release it. We release it. We release it into our hearts. Holy Spirit, even in the days and in the weeks to come, make it real within us. And as opportunities are presented to us by you, remind us. Be that still small voice on the inside that pushes us past where we've ever been to be used of you to give God away. And everybody said, amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's message from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. If you live in or are planning to travel to the Elk River area, we invite you to join us for our Sunday morning worship service at 9:30 a.m. each week. For directions and to learn more about our church, please visit our church website at livingwaterschurchelkriver.org.